Syndicated News Talk Leader, Right Side Radio. This is JP here live from the Right Side Studios, filling in for Phil Williams today. And we're here in Right Side Radio, where it's always solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, folks, we are glad to be joined here from Congressman Dale Strong. He is the representative of District 5 of Alabama up in D.C., and we'll be discussing his NPR bill here in a momentarily. And then also, what about Space Command coming to Huntsville? I feel like it's about time for that. But here, let's not waste any time. Let's bring the Congressman on. Congressman Dale Strong, I appreciate you coming on the show.
JP, it's great to be with you again.
Well, Congressman, you know, back in February of earlier this year, you brought up this bill, the No More Funding for NPR Act of 2025. And then earlier this week, Director Vaught drafted a memo directing lawmakers to cut $1.1 billion from the CPB. Talk to us about this. I know you put out a post that you're looking forward to working with the Trump administration on this. Talk to us about how this bill of yours is going to get across the finish line.
Well, if the American people knew how their money was being spent, they would be very upset. Some do, a lot don't. You start talking about, you look at what you have done and Phil Williams has done on this radio show, you've got to have sponsors to be sure that this show keeps going. Well, what NPR is doing is they're fleecing the American people for more than $600 million. And, you know, I sit here and take the people of North Alabama. I want to do what they want to do, but I'll tell you this right here. I've yet to see anybody that wants to spend $600 million to keep NPR spewing their Democratic garb all over America. So we're sitting here, and I'm pretty proud where I am, and I was excited to see the president this week or last week jump on and say, we need to stop, Congress needs to stop funding NPR. I'm right along with him, and that's why I sponsored that bill in February.
And you mentioned, you know, us here at Right Side, you know, I think we'd be okay with just a quarter of, you know, that funding. I think we'd appreciate that as well. And we wouldn't be spewing the nonsense that NPR is spewing for sure. But I grew up watching Sesame Street. I was a big Bert and Ernie kid. And then I find out later, oh, apparently Bert and Ernie are gay. And it's like, why do they have to be gay? Why do they have to put any political bias into kids' TV shows? It's just asinine to me. But what do you say to people who argue that, well, if you want to make NPR and PBS better, then shouldn't you fund it even more? What do you say to people who are arguing that they should get more funding if you want to fix it, not cut funding?
Well, I'll tell you this right here. What I want to do is to put that money back in the people's pocket. And if they want to send it to NPR or to Sesame Street, have at it. But I don't believe that government, I don't think it's our role to pick winners and losers, especially in radio. And this abuse has gone on for years. I'm just glad that we're finally getting to the point that people are seeing how their tax dollars are being spent. You start looking at it, you know, JP, there's a lot of other expenses out there. $22 billion for health and human services to provide free housing and cars for illegal aliens. $45 million for diversity, equity, and inclusion for scholarships in Burma. You know what? Is that not unbelievable? If the American people had to personally write this check to this garbage, there's no way that it would ever happen. $8 million to promote LGBTQ plus for African countries. You talk about $10 million for male circumcisions in Mozambique. And then, of course, the $20 million for Sesame Street to be broadcast. I think we have a lot of pressing issues. We ought to be paying down the national debt. This is a threat to America, and I think that President Trump is pushing this in the right direction.
Yeah, and thank God for Elon Musk and Doge for bringing this to the forefront, because all this stuff has been happening behind the scenes without any of our knowledge, and we're the ones, you know, funding that nonsense. But real quick, you know, one last question regarding NPR. Obviously, you can't speak for NPR or PBS and what they're going to do, but I get a sense that budget cut, if it were to come to fruition, would be a reality check to them, and hopefully they could, you know, come back to the center. We're seeing a bunch of, you know, corporations cutting DEI and cutting all that nonsense and coming back to, you know, the center on things. I would think that NPR and PBS, that would be a wake-up call for them to do that. I certainly hope so. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you'd see some layoffs immediately, and I think the free enterprise would be better off because of it. But you look at, if you've ever listened to it, man, you talk about, well, it might be leaning. No, it's not. It's they're not reporting the news. They're creating and making their own stories and then trying people to follow it. And then the $600 million associated with it, then all of a sudden they have other people that buy their their productions. So it's more involved than just $600 million. That's just the tip of the iceberg. But, that list goes on. We're sitting here right now. I think we made about $2.2 billion in beef purchases from Australia. They didn't buy a dime from America. And so that's the thing. Fraud, theft, and abuse is wide open. The Biden administration pushed it even to another extreme. And that's the, you look at these protesters out there. It's going on all over the country. Soros's agitators, they're out there just upset because they have been exposed. They find out, Biden was asleep at the switch. Man, he was totally unconscious. He wasn't just asleep at the switch. He was unconscious at the switch.
Yeah, 100%. And you've seen it yourself, Indivisible demanding that you show up to their events, telling you when, you're going to show up to their events. I mean, it's nonsense. But I think the protests and how they're acting just shows how much little they have. And they're getting demolished and everything in the political realm right now, I think. And all they can do is grandstand and whine and complain. So I personally see it as a sign of winning. But Congressman, let me ask you about this too. Space Command has been a big story, especially for folks in Huntsville. Ever since Trump got reelected, they've been eagerly waiting to see if Space Command will come to its rightful home in Huntsville, Alabama. Right, Mike Rogers, representative of Alabama as well, claimed that we could be days away from an announcement. He said, hopefully before April is even over. And we saw Kay Ivey sign a joint resolution encouraging President Trump to immediately proceed and bringing permanent headquarters of Space Command to Huntsville. What are you hearing up there? Are we anywhere close to an announcement of Space Command coming to Huntsville?
Well, I had an opportunity week ago, 10 days ago, to meet with the president and the vice president. And I can tell you this right here, unlike the previous administration, they're going to do what's right for national security. When I first got to Washington, that was one thing that I said, I want to see the evidence. I want to know how this decision's made. I want to know who makes the recommendation. And that's the thing that we found. That 21 categories was evaluated. It showed. Several areas participated, and then you take some of the notes that were there. It said a close competition between number one and number two, large separation between two and three. And what did Biden recommend? He recommended number five, Colorado. I want to do what's right for national security. Every indicator shows that Redstone Arsenal is what is right. And so we're going to continue to push this forward, and I trust the decision will be made sooner rather than later. The big thing we need is we need the Senate to seat the Secretary of the Air Force, because that is who should be making the recommendation to the president. And you look at it, that's the one thing that I tip my hat to, is Secretary Kendall served under President Trump 45. He also served as Secretary of the Air Force for Biden. And then you go ahead, and his recommendation was clear. He recommended Redstone Arsenal because it was right for national security. And then you look at what Biden did. He goes and does Colorado to try to get votes for the Democratic Party. I promise you, if we start doing this, this country's in a sad state of affairs. I believe the Secretary of the Air Force will be seated, and I think that he'll review the categories, the evaluation. But the way I look at it, we're 4 years behind schedule in a couple of months. We're ready to go vertical. I believe the president will get his recommendation. I think he will move immediately, and I personally believe the Space Command is coming to Redstone Arsenal. 1,700 jobs with about a 3,000 job spinoff. And I think that we've got the right people at the right place at the right time to do the mission.
Hey, man, that's good to hear. And I didn't even realize this, Congressman, that the Pentagon would have saved $426 million if they went to Alabama instead of Colorado in the first place. But, I mean, I think that just shows how big of a politically motivated decision that was to choose Colorado, which, like you said, wasn't even the top choices. Hopefully this soon can happen.
Yeah, Colorado was always a temporary solution. Mike Rogers has said that multiple times. And then when you start looking at it, they leased a building for $54 million. And that's funny. They failed to tell the American people that it's 9.5 miles outside of the military base in Colorado and has zero force protection. I thoroughly enjoyed questioning General Dickinson when he was before the House Armed Service Committee, and I can promise you he turned a pasty white when we asked him, did it meet the minimal standards? And think about it. If you got a $54 million leased building and it has zero force protection, not even a concrete barrier in front of it, think about the threat that is to the people that work there. I believe the president speaks to make a decision. I think he understands what's at stake. Nothing against the people of Colorado, but Redstone Arsenal is the preferred choice. It was always a temporary solution in Colorado, and what they were trying to do is during this time, they were trying to go vertical, to plug the dike, to make it look like that it appealed. It does not threaten readiness. Our United States military is ready to go at any time. And then you look at what the Colorado delegation did, sent letters to President Biden saying to intervene at any expense. Let me tell you something. Let's do what's right for national security, and I'll promise you right now our country will be better because of it.
Well, Congressman, I got one more question for you, then we'll let you go. You know, major story of the Maryland father of Kilmer Abrego Garcia, let alone the MS-13, you know, gang member. That obviously doesn't matter. But we see, you know, Chris Van Hollen deciding he's going to go down to El Salvador and demand he Bukele release him. And it's a complete joke. But I got to ask you, you know, he said that a bunch of his colleagues are coming down with him. There's more congressmen and coming down there to demand his release. I got to ask you, Congressman, do you have any plans in the future to go down to El Salvador and have a meaningless trip at all?
I can tell you this right here, I'll never go to El Salvador. To be honest with you, I liked what their president said. He said they liberated their country by getting rid of the MS-13, and look at it, their country's a lot better off because of it. But Chris Van Hollen, what he ought to have been doing is trying to see what he can do to release those five Americans that are being held hostage in Gaza. That's what we ought to be doing, is trying to get the Americans back. But he's trying to do a publicity stunt, and the Democratic Party knows that they've got one foot on a banana peel, and he's just adding more to their circus. But I'll promise you, this is absolutely a three-ring circus, and he stepped right in the middle of it. That guy is with MS-13. The data has showed that. He's beat his wife several times. You look at these reports, he's got a list as long as my leg of what he's done illegal since he came to America. And that's the thing. He is an illegal alien in America, and you look at it. We returned him to his home country, and our country's better off today because of it.
Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate your time and coming on the show, and hopefully we can speak again soon.
Hey, JP, great to be with you.
All right. That was Congressman Dale Strong. We're going to take a quick timeout, and we'll be back on the other side. Emily Hayes here with me. This is JP, Right Side Radio, filling in for Phil Williams, and we'll be right back.